The power's not there because you're brilliant. The power's not there because you've got a great strategy for transformation. The power's there because you said yes in the secret place when the burning one came and purified hearts. John the Baptist declared, pointing to Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And he goes on to say, "He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire." I remember in February of 1995, I went to Toronto. I heard God was doing great things there. I was very hungry. We had seen the Lord use us, and miracles started breaking out in Weaverville in 1987. We're very thankful for that particular season and direction, but we were just aching for so much more. And I remember flying to Toronto, and there was a great outpouring that was happening there, and I just wanted to see and participate. And it was confusing, but sometimes God's not the author of confusion. You're only confused because of your position. He's not confused. And sometimes you have to repent your way into the right mind so that you're not confused. Anyway, I was in this moment, and I don't want to go into that very much, but it was wonderful. And there was 5,000 people there, and it was just the presence of the Lord was so strong. It helped if I closed my eyes, because then I wouldn't be offended by everything I was seeing. But actually, I would close my eyes and I would become aware of the same presence we were having in our prayer meetings at home. And so that's how I knew, is that I recognized the work of God, not by approved manifestations, but I recognized it by the presence. And that's the safest way to measure anything. But you have to become familiar with Him to be able to recognize Him. You have to know, I've seen this before. So in this moment, I'm there for 4 or 5 days, 6 days, whatever it was, and I knew that I had seen something that was to mark the rest of my life. And so I flew home, and I began to pray. I started to ache for all the things I had read about in here. You see the city of Ephesus completely transformed in Acts 19, where they had moved from miracles to extraordinary miracles, and where cloth could be sent from Paul's body and deliverance would take place and healing. And this moment where every single person in Asia heard the gospel, every single person. So there's this movement that became so impacting that all of culture itself, they've even got believers planted in Caesar's household, in the leaders of government, there are believers in those places. And it was just extraordinary what's happening. And I began to ache for these things to happen, and the miracles, of course, that we see in Scripture, and the deliverances, the conversions. And I started praying when I got home from Toronto. I said, "God, I want more of you. And I want more at any cost. I'll pay any price." And it wasn't an emotional prayer. It wasn't like, you know, "I feel really good, so let me pray the scary prayer." It was calculated, because I know He tends to collect on His debts. It was a prayer that said, "God, I want more of you, and I will pay any price. I'll pay any price." And I was praying, and I became obsessed. If you can be a Christian obsessed, maybe it's focused. I became focused, very focused. And morning and night, in the day, driving down the street, "God, I've got to have more." It was almost like this hunger for Him was almost like this volcanic eruption. It wasn't, "Oh, it's time for me to pray." It wasn't that. It was, "I cannot help but pray. God, I must have more of you. I was born for more than what I've seen. God, I must have more, and I will pay any price. I'll be the guy that'll pay any price." Yes. And I would pray that it got to where I would actually wake myself up in the night praying. I didn't wake up to pray. I woke myself up because I was praying in my sleep. Unless you discount that, I remind you that Solomon made the most incredible decision of his life in his sleep. That's right. It's when the Lord showed up and gave him a choice. "You can have anything you want." And it says it was a dream. And the Lord gave him that chance because he trusted he had gone to bed night after night with such resolve of purpose that he could trust the decision while he was sleeping. It's possible for you and me to go to bed never leaving purpose, never leaving the why that we are alive, so that when those divine moments come, covenants are made and history is changed. The course of history is changed. So I would pray this in the night, in the day. And October, so we've got from the 1st of February to the end of October, Dick Joyce, who was a dear friend of ours, he's now home with the Lord, dear friend of ours, a prophet. He helped us really more than any other visiting minister. He would call to check up on me, and was such a strength and encouragement to me, to our family. I met him through my parents. And Dick was in Weaverville, and we had these meetings for several nights, and some of the craziest things I've ever seen happen in that meeting. God is a God of order. Kind of like a maternity ward. He knows what he's doing and you don't. People, I say, well, how do you know that's God? Where is that in the Bible? I say, it's in Psalms 115. God does what he pleases. So one guy got mad. He got mad, left the meeting. I didn't know until later. He got mad, left the meeting. The Lord met him in the parking lot, laid him out in the parking lot in the snow. By himself, he cannot move. Nobody is there to help him. I have to admit, I really got happy when I heard that story. I'm not sure my motives were completely pure, but to this day, I enjoy that story. And I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking with it. I had a friend I was praying for that night, and his name was Tom. I said, Tom, I feel like God's going to touch you. And he was really struggling, and I just wanted to encourage him. I said, I feel like God's going to touch you. It could be middle of the day, middle of the night. And I said specifically, I said, it may be 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, in those meetings, you go to bed very late. It's the eternal gospel. Like one of our elders here told us years ago, he said, the only reason we bring our watch to church is to see if the date changed. So there was a season where that was absolutely true. May we have that problem again. So I went to bed, of course, late. And then, if you can imagine being as completely asleep as possible to as completely awake as possible in a millisecond, that's what happened to me. I'm completely asleep, and all of a sudden, it's like 1,000 volts of electricity are going through my body, and I have no control of my arms, my legs, or anything. And the only thing I have control of is my head. And I turn my head, and it's 3 a.m. exactly. And I said out loud, you set me up. Because you know how when you're in a God moment, he makes sure you remember what you need to remember. So why would I think of my prophetic word to my friend? I wouldn't, except he needed me to understand this was part of the journey. You set me up. And so I am laying there in this condition with 1,000 volts of electricity. I'm not saying this has to happen to anybody else, because he is a creative God who customizes what each person needs. But I will say everybody needs a baptism of fire. I will say that. And not just one 20 years ago. And I laid there with no control of my arms or my legs. And I'd grip my arms like this, and my legs would become more violent. I'd grab my legs, my arms, and I'm trying to process. I'm embarrassed. I actually feel my face turn red. You know how you feel when your face is flushed? I can feel that happening because I'm embarrassed for myself. Benny's asleep, which was a miracle. It's a waterbed, so there's tidal waves. It's no longer a waterbed, but it was back then. It's funny now. It wasn't funny at all then. And I'm trying to process what's going on. I know it's a setup, but I'm trying to figure it out. And I can't get control. And the more I try to get control, just the worse it gets. And I realize I'm in this divine moment, and then I see scenes he passes before my eyes. I saw me trying to teach in front of our church family up there in that condition. And I realized there's nobody there that's going to believe this is God. No one. The next scene, I'm standing in front of my favorite restaurant in town, realizing I'm going to be mocked by the entire city. There's nobody there that's going to believe this is from God. I remember that Jacob wrestled with an angel and he limped the rest of his life, that sometimes the mark that God puts on our life from a divine encounter looks like a blemish to everybody else. You've got Mary, the mother of Jesus, without a husband, the mother of the illegitimate child. You've got things that happen in people's lives. They're not shortcuts to fame and all this other stuff. It's the opposite. And that what was in my heart anyway. I've not been interested in the other stuff. When I said yes to the Lord, I didn't know if I'd ever own anything. I just didn't care. So I'm laying there, tears are going down the sides of my face onto the pillowcase. And I've got maybe 20 or 30 minutes into this where I'm seeing these scenes and I still have no control. And I'm trying to process what's going on. And I realize he's been reminding me this entire time, son, you said more at any cost. And I could tell in that moment that he was asking for my right to dignity, to my personal dignity. And after laying there for 20 or 30 minutes in this, I don't know what else to call it, a baptism of fire is what it felt like. After processing this, I said, okay. You can do anything you want with me if I get you in the exchange. If it's true that I get more of you, do whatever. And I laid there for the rest of the night with this presence, this power. It was not pleasant, but it was glorious. I got up that next morning. I don't always tell this part. It continued the next night and the third night. A couple months later, we're here. And the Holy Spirit begins to move. I started to see things. Lady back over here, born deaf, all of a sudden, she never heard anything in her life. Starts pointing to the speakers in the ceiling. She can hear. Wow. We start seeing things I've never seen in my life. Jesus. Somebody's paralyzed for 38 years, gets up out of her wheelchair over here. And yet 1,000 people leave. Good people. I have no animosity or criticism at all. But if you want to kill a pastor, pastors are weird. You just got to understand. Pastors are weird. We are a weird group. We can have people who hate us leave the church and we're sad. That's weird. But these were good people, many of them friends that I knew. Some said, one family in particular said, we know this is God. We just can't do it. They left. And I know it's hard to imagine and hard to explain. But for me, it wasn't hard. It wasn't hard. It was the part of me that would have cried in pain in that season, died in the previous season. There's something about a baptism of fire that purifies what's important. All of a sudden, there's certain things that are not on your list anymore. Sometimes we experience pain only because we care about the wrong things. Sometimes we experience anguish of heart only because the wrong set of values, and there's something about the fiery presence of God that purifies it. It changes everything. Everything is changed. Everything. And I feel like I ache for our country. I ache for our state. I see this craziness that is going on. Absolute insanity. And then I hear the Lord in Psalms 51. Clean heart. Clean heart. Clean heart. Then, because of purity and power, there'll be something on your words that will change the environment that you live in. Yes. The power's not there because you're brilliant. The power's not there because you've got a great strategy for transformation. The power's there because you said yes in the secret place when the burning one came and purified hearts. The Lord is so creative. He sets the stage for us uniquely, individually. And where he may touch me in a certain way, he touches you in a different way. His method makes no difference to me. It may be an insight in a scripture. That may be it for you. The outcome is what's important, is that the burning one has touched these lips. Is that the burning one has ignited this heart? Is that the burning one has made it possible for me to live with clean hands and a pure heart? And to be the living offering for a nation that is desperately looking for anchors. Don't misunderstand, we're not the anchor, but he is. And I ache for this. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will be converted. That's what I ache for. When I heard that Friday morning, when that was being read, I went, that's it. I can't get away from that. That's it right there. I feel like his word is drawing us into a divine encounter where there's a fresh baptism available for whether you're online, at home, in your office, you're in this room. Doesn't matter to me. The Lord is setting us up for something that is beyond. I needed something beyond my control. I needed, for me it was vital, to give up my right to look good, my right to be reasonable, and to die at that place and say, if I get you in exchange, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you watched this video. I do pray that it's a great, great strength and encouragement to you. And I've got a verse that really is my cry for all of us. And it's Psalms 20, it's verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, is that this would be the season of rich, rich fulfillment. Thanks for joining us.